Let's just start with prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you today for little ones. I thank you for parents and grandparents and great-grandparents who bring their little ones to church. Help us, Lord, be a ministry that faithfully teaches them the truths of your word. I pray that you'd work and mold their hearts. I pray that they would come to know you as personal Savior, the little ones who attend here, and then they grow up to be the church of tomorrow. Lord, help us to be a mentoring ministry in that direction. Be it those who are teaching downstairs. And Lord, for us up here, a difficult topic for sure, something that is going to happen as sure as the day has sun in it now. There's going to be this man of sin come on the scene. We, by your grace, I believe, will be in heaven, saved from the wrath to come. But Lord, the harbingers of his coming on the scene, your return is imminent. We're not looking for the Antichrist. We are looking for Jesus Christ to come back. So Lord, help me today that I would say nothing amiss. May you stir us up to be doing more of your business you'd have us to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we have, this is the son of perdition. The outline is on the back of your bulletin if you want to grab a hold of it there and fill it out as we go along. I have the first two filled in. That's all we got to last week, so we're doing the rest this week. We have about 5-hour sermon here, so I hope you brought your lunch today. I'm just teasing very much. As you well know, I really work at staying within the same 5-minute time frame to end on every week, and so I try to do that as a courtesy to you, and perhaps you're a little bit spoiled. I want to say it that way, but to get out of the man I listen to often, about 1 hour 20 minutes is his message time, and 1 hour 15 to 1 hour 20 minutes. And so he is a great Bible expositor. I'm not asking you to sit that long. The heart can only learn what the seat can endure. And so there we are. The man of sin. This morning is the son of perdition. I simply retitle it. If you have last week's bulletin, you can use that one as well. But we find here there's going to, this church at Thessalonica thought that they were already in the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is an encompassing term for all the really the future events. Starts, if you would, with the tribulation time, the coming on of the Antichrist, the man of sin. He is a very popular topic, is this topic of future events, because people are seeing things happen. I was visiting a home this week. My wife and I were visiting, and on the TV we're showing all the pictures from Moscow, Russia, and like dozens and dozens of police vehicles and all these things happening. It reminds me of those apocalyptic shows that says, you know, the Lord's return, and look what the world's come to now. We are so ready for a one person to come on the scene and say, listen, I'm it. Just look at me. Just trust me. Just worship me and follow me, and we'll be, everything will be okay. I will bring you peace. Think what we have done in the last 2 or 3 years. If you just keep us safe, we'll let go of all of our freedoms. If you'll just tell me I'm okay and safe. Some of us have done that, some in the world today. Listen, when people get scared, they want safety. So we come on the scene, we think of what's happening in the world today, what a terrible tragedy in Moscow, Russia, at the music concert, music hall, whatever it was, and the people, why would you even want to claim responsibility for the murdering of other people? It's a mind that has been turned from God, turned to the dark, the evil side. I won't say dark side, but think of Star Wars, but turn to the evil side. So the Antichrist is revealed. The first part of this text, we see the climate of his coming. So there will be a climate of when the evil is going to come, and the world is going to wax worse and worse. They had said earlier on that there's the false teachers in verse 2 said, well, we've had a spirit, well, we've had a word, or we've had a letter from an apostle. So, church, you're already in the day of the Lord. And they were wondering. Paul says, don't be so soon shaken in mind. Verse 2, that you soon be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. So they gave 3 false proofs of the day of the Lord starting. Paul gives 3 true proofs for the day of the Lord starting in verse 3. I'll let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, what day? The day of the Lord shall not come except there come a falling away, the man of sin be revealed, who is the son of perdition, and then his sign of the who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. So that's the signs. If you see those signs and you're alive on earth and those signs happen, you missed it. You missed the rapture of the church. It's not good news. If you're here on earth and these 3 things unfold, it's not going to be a good thing for you. So those 3 points, Paul points them to as signs. The lesson is very clear. Jesus cannot come at his second coming. Now remember, the rapture of the church, the snatching away, the catching away, is not prophetically driven. In other words, there's no prophecy has to happen before he comes back. He could come back today. Wouldn't that be amazing if God would come back today and some preacher somewhere, some balding preacher somewhere down the road, perhaps on a Sunday morning, he's going to say, perhaps he could come today, and boom, we all go. Woohoo! That's what we should be excited about. We're not home. We're just a passing through. Right? Yes? We're just passing through. And we should be so about what matters for eternity. Tonight's going to be our family life today is on discernment message tonight. We should be discerning. You make discernment questions all the time. The cat walks by my favorite cat walks by and he will sit there and he'll meow. And I have to discern whether he wants a long pet or just a passing pet. He's on the way to the food bowl because the food bowl goes around my chair right to the food bowl and he loves his food. But sometimes he'll come there and just sit and I'll start petting and he'll just. So I have to discern because I have to stretch all the way over to get to him because I've got like five levels of books here by my chair. And so I'm stretching over the books to get to him. And so I have to just a little discernment there. A little discernment of what you're watching this week. What you're saying this week. What you're reading. How are you responding to people? You need discernment. How am I going to respond? We just had the changing of the guard at where I work. There were two people who were made the final two selection of who's going to take over the executive director of the 5 co-ed, which is a pretty daunting task. So the one person said yes, and the other person that also won a job but did not get the job, he called the person that said yes and said, I want you to know I'm supporting you. I'm on the board, but I will get off if you want, or do you want me to remain? I want you to know I'll be helping you as you take over the job. First class. First class. That's the way to do it. So you have to be discerning, and that set the whole tone for Monday's big meeting. The other person didn't get the job, handled it spot on, right. The rest of the meeting went pretty well. But we have to be discerning. We have to be discerning the signs of the time. He's coming back. So I've gotten off track already. But we find that Christ is coming back. In Matthew 24:29, a verse that really has helped me a lot, Jesus said, now I've been thinking my entire life pretty much, it says you can't know the day or the hour when the Lord comes back at the second coming to the earth. I'm thinking it's 260 days right from when the Antichrist puts his thing in the temple, just desecrates the temple. 260 days, 1260 days later, here comes Jesus. I'm going to debunk that for Tim. Matthew 24:29, Jesus himself said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened. He doesn't come on the last day of the tribulation 7-year period. Immediately could be quite some time. I mean, he's been gone only 2 days, 2,000 years. Immediately could be weeks, months, a couple few years. I don't think it will be. So we can't, you cannot. The day of the hour no man knows no man but God alone. And when the Father says to the Son, go get your children. He's coming for the rapture of the church. And then all this Hades is going to break loose on earth. It's going to be a terrible time. The Jews are going to say, yes, Jesus is the Messiah. And after that 7-year period, immediately after, here comes Jesus and all his glory. And we come with him. Woohoo! He comes all the way to earth to rule and to reign. That's the revelation of Christ, if you would. We find this is a difficult term in here. I have to tell you, it's a difficult message, and I prayed this morning, Lord, help me to get this right and to keep the focus right. It says in verse 3, if you're following along there and haven't left me yet, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away. That falling away. Now, if you will say, well, Pastor, I think that means there's going to become less and less. There's going to be the doctrine and the apostasy is going to get worse. Yes, it's going to get worse. But this is really like the falling away. Henry Morris, maybe rightly so, if you have a Henry Morris study Bible, I'll just put a little plug here. If you do not have a study Bible of your own, I would recommend the Henry Morris study Bible as one of several that are good. But you need a study Bible. You need to be studying God's Word. You need to be in His Word. That's how you grow. You simply don't grow by, oh, I wish. Don't you wish sometimes you could just like go to sleep and they put a little patch on you. And as you're sleeping, all the Bible knowledge just trickles right in there. Trickles right in there. Colin's happy this morning. Trickles right. Don't you? It doesn't happen like that. It happens. It's W-O-R-K. W-O-R-K. You see these people. You see these people sing and have this beautiful voice. I'm telling you, he's given his life to that. You see these people play. Angie Mark went to hear a couple weeks ago. Went to hear a piano concerto. You see these people play on the piano like it's like that's their life. That's 9-10 hours a day practicing. What are we giving our lives to? The falling away. Falling away could be, Henry Morris says, by the way, that this is the standing away. He says the rapture of the church is the falling away. Could be. But we are. I think we're sowing the seeds of this apostasy. Because you can just think now with me for just a moment. Say you're here in a tribulation time and the people who reject Christ as Savior, the Antichrist has taken hold. And he said, I've got digital currency. And unless you do exactly what I say, you don't have money to buy or sell or do diddly squat. Digital currency, by the way, is all coming unless something happens, most likely. If you don't know what digital currency is, you need to read up on that. So he comes, and the people say, well, God's up in heaven, and I don't see God, but I see this person who says he's God. And matter of fact, at the middle, he came back from the dead. So I'm going with him. The great falling away. More people are jettisoning the true God for the false God. If you see that, and you see the son of perdition, the son of man take his stand and consolidate his power, and you see him in the middle put that, perhaps it's a pig on the altar in the Jewish temple. When you see that, now, you're in the day of the Lord, Paul says. If you're in that, you're in the day of the Lord. The following way, if you want to think of it as more as an apostasy, that's fine. Certainly, we have grounds for it. In 1978, 75% of Americans said they went to church. When you added the word weekly, only 45% in 78 said they went to church. Take Gallup, Barna, Pew Research, Harvard Institute of Religion. When you add the word weekly today, it drops to 20% of Americans go to church weekly. So you talk about an apostasy and a growth. What's the fastest growing grouping in America is N-O-N-E, the nuns. I have no religious affiliation. Shame on us. We pastors who we have not done our job. We haven't. We should be preaching every pastor. If you're a pastor, preach the gospel. If you're not, stop being a pastor. Preach what the Bible says. If that's not your agenda, then quit. Close your doors and let people go to a church that is preaching the gospel and does offer a change of life based upon receiving Christ as your personal Savior. You have a sin debt against you and you have to pay it or allow Christ's death on Calvary to pay for it. The wages of sin is what? Death. Without Christ, you're going to a Christ's eternity called hell. But he's not willing that any should perish. God is not some far-off God who does not care about you. He is the God that made you, but sin has happened. So why does all these bad things happen to good people? Because of sin. Well, God just doesn't care about us. Really? 2,000 years ago, God himself went through horrible agony, died on the cross, was separated from the Father for 3 hours, first time in eternity, the only time in eternity, that you don't have to go to hell. He died on the cross. And the thing is, when you receive him as personal Savior, that's when the exciting gets going. You read your Bible and you say, what all God has for me. My wife has never... Now, I'm thinking someday she may wake up and she's going to start liking Diet Mountain Dew. She will say it's the best drink in the world. But right now, she's going to tell you, because she doesn't know the whole truth, that it's the worst drink in the world. But I'm telling you, she gets a heart, she has some kind of injection or something, and she comes over here and says, wow, I didn't know it was so good until I changed. You don't know what Christianity is true until you have experienced it. And you sit on this side. Why does that pastor, why does he get so excited? Why does he listen to messages? Why is he reading the Bible? Why is he doing those kind of things? I just don't understand it. And you don't understand it because you don't have the appetite for it. You come over here, you receive Christ as personal Savior. The things you love, you no longer love. The things you used to hate, now you love. Because you are a new creature in Christ. If that hasn't changed for you, you need to check your birth certificate. Spiritual birth certificate. Because that's what he does for us. So perhaps the nuns are part of the falling away, a no religious affiliation. Shall we go on? We shall. Skip it. By the way, there are over 4,000 churches a year close the doors in America. Over 4,000 a year. A falling away. Widespread rejection of Christ. In your outline, we have a clue to his character. Verse 4, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So the climate of his coming, the clue of his character under the Antichrist is revealed. You find then it says in the middle of tribulation, he's going to exalt himself as God. Can you imagine the audacity of someone to say that? The temple is going to be built on the most contested 35 acres of land in the world, the Temple Mount. Somehow it's going to be cleared off. The Dome of the Rock is going to be cleared off. And they're going to have a temple by the midpoint of the 7-year period, 3.5 years in. There's going to be a temple and they're going to be using it in really false worship. Once Jesus died on the cross, Judaism was really, I'm going to say cautiously, the false religion. Because the Jews were then to come into the church. So the church, this is the church age. If you're a Jewish person today, you need to be in the church. Now, if you go to the different temples over in Virginia where we were, there were different Jewish temples. And you go to Columbus, there. But that Jewishism does not save you. Christ is the Savior. Whether you're a Jew or Gentile, you must come to Christ as the Messiah. They've not done that yet. Jews today, for the most part, we're the second largest number of Jews live in America, only to be exceeded by Israel itself. But they still need to come to Christ. That's why the Watsons have served so long in the Boston area. They need to hear the truth is Jesus is the Messiah. He has come. He is the answer to the prophecy. There's going to be this clash somehow. Antichrist is going to be able to facilitate the temple being built on the Temple Mount. They're going to be worshiping in unbelief. He's going to, the abomination of desolation Christ spoke of in Matthew 24:15. He's going to do that, and he's going to turn from being a savior of the Jews to the persecutor of the Jews in just one fell swoop. So whom the Jews were looking for to as possibly their Messiah becomes their greatest Hitler all over again. And by the way, Christians will be that too. Those Christians, I thought you said we're going to be in heaven. We are. If you know Christ as Savior now, before the rapture of the church, but there's going to be a multitude. Tim LaHaye says more people will trust Christ as Savior in the 7 years of tribulation than the entire period of church history put together. There's going to be a lot, that's his own personal viewpoint, but there's going to be a lot of people come to know Christ who, well, in verse 10, we found out that if and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of truth that they might be saved. But there's a lot of people who've never heard the love of truth that they might be saved. There's a lot of people who've 95, one statistic I read, 95% of the people who live in the 1040 window across our globe never one time hear the truth of the gospel. 95% never hear one time hear the truth of the gospel. Well, who's the Antichrist? We don't know. There's been a lot of speculations. Martin Luther identified the Pope during his time as the Antichrist. Matter of fact, in the 1646 Westminster Confession, Article 25, it reads, "There is no other head of the church but the Lord Jesus Christ, nor can the Pope of Rome in any sense be head thereof, but he is that Antichrist, that man of sin and the son of perdition that exalted himself in the church against Christ and all that is called God." That's the Westminster Confession in 1646. They thought the sitting Pope was the Antichrist in 1646. A lot of people have thought there have been certain presidents. We've had Mussolini, Hitler, Stalin, Napoleon, Khrushchev, Gorbachev. Different ones here in America have been postulated as possibly the Antichrist. Is he alive today? He could well be. I think Satan from 1948. Now we know what happened in 48. Israel became a nation, May of 48. I think Satan may very well have someone in the wings since that point. Satan's a very smart individual, far smarter than you and I. He knows what the Bible says. After Israel becomes a nation, then the tribulation might be shortly down the road, and so he very well has someone on the wings. Is the Antichrist alive today? If the rapture happens, tribulation starts very soon, yes. We just don't know. We're not looking for him. We're looking for Jesus. So the Antichrist is revealed, and these much two shorter points. Number two, how the Antichrist is restrained, starting in verse 6. And now you know that what withholdeth, or that restrains, that he might be revealed in his time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth or restrains will let, and not restrain until he be taken away. That's the old English, letteth, actually. Now we, in our day and age, if I let you do something, if I let you pet my cat, I'm allowing you to do that. In old English, just the opposite. You're keeping it back. You are not letting them. So he's restraining. So think of it as a restrainer. So who's restraining will no longer restrain. So as much as Satan wants his program to come to earth, the only way the Antichrist is not already on the scene promoting himself is because the Holy Spirit is restraining him. Now, there are three popular, the most popular beliefs of who the restrainer is. Number one, if you're following the outline, the restrainer is human government. Some believe that. That God has given government to restrain evil. By the way, it's not smart to defund the police, because the San Francisco, just this last month, I was hearing how they now have re-upped and they started giving their police more power again, because the no arrest just doesn't work. And so they're now giving their policemen more authority again. So some believe the human government, I guess some problems with that. Number one, human governments don't often fulfill their God-ordained responsibility. Two, according to both Daniel and Revelation, the Antichrist is head of the one-world government. So I can't see the one-world government restraining the Antichrist and on the other turn using that to promote his things. And so I don't think it's human government. Number two is an angel. The restrainer is an angel. Only problem with that is Jude 9 teaches that when Michael and the Satan were battling over the body of Moses, he said, the Lord rebuke you, not himself. Those two views are for amillennialists. Third, and really the only legitimate, I think, belief is number three, understanding is it's God the Holy Spirit. That's who the restrainer is. Can I just ask you one question, which will answer, I believe. Who is powerful enough to hold back Satan? Who is powerful enough to hold back Satan? God. The only one. God's the only one. So, and that just lays it to rest. And also consider this, during the days of the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit seen as restraining evil, Genesis 6:3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. For 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth or restraineth will let until he be taken out of the way. So he's restraining the evil, if you would, through the work of the church, if you would. Secondly, the use of pronouns. Do you see the pronouns that the text used so clearly here? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time, he being the Antichrist there. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only, what's the next pronoun? He who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Very unusual. Scripture goes against the normal grammatical purpose. It's pneumatos, is the spirit, a neuter noun. So normally you'd have a neuter pronoun. However, God in his ultimate infinite wisdom calls the spirit a he. He who now letteth will let. So sometimes it could be a neuter if you want to go straight grammatical, yes. But here God in John 14 to 16, the spirit's a he. And so he's restraining until he's out of the way. Why would we do that? Well, because of Mandalorian, because of Star Wars. May the force be with you, the good side, the dark side, the yin-yang. And so we have just, oh, Luke, trust the dark. Don't trust the dark side. Trust the good side. And Luke, all those different things. Boom. And people buy into that. And they think that there's a real person called the Spirit of God. It's not just some wind of wave or some ethereal thing that comes on and gives people special things and they just let them. No. It's the Spirit of God who indwells you. He's restraining evil. Can you imagine when the church is out of here? By the way, another good testament for the rapture of the church, because he never leaves us, does he? No. So if he's gone, we're gone. There we go. And then can you imagine what the world's going to be like when the Christians are removed? It's going to be a terrible, terrible, terrible place. Far worse than we have now. Thirdly, Antichrist is revealed. how the Antichrist is restrained and how the Antichrist is released. First of all, his release will come with deception. Starting verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Have you ever wondered why in Matthew chapter 7, 23 and 22, it says, have we not cast out devils in your name and done all these things in your name? Depart from me, you that work iniquity, I never knew you. There's going to be people who are going to be able to do some miraculous things, but with the wrong power. He's coming with great signs and wonders. I think it's an exaggeration to say the Antichrist is the incarnation of Satan, as Jesus is the incarnation of God, but he will be like the son of perdition, Judas. Satan will indwell, I believe, certainly after the second half of the tribulation, indwell this man of sin, certainly controlling him, because what? Satan wants worship, and he's going to be in control. Worship me, or we're cutting off all your funds. Can't get your bank account, and you didn't vote the right way, you said some bad things in the pulpit that are not culturally correct, we are closing your account. Matter of fact, we're going to take your house, taking your cars, because you have become right wing. So the Antichrist could easily say to the people, you know, if you worship me or take the 666 number, I'm not sure exactly how it's going to work in, but I have no problem. Do we not have any problem believing now the 666 could be on your forehead and some clear and put a blue light on? Oh, there it is. Where's your mark? I have no problem at all having people. We've got chips and animals already, and so there's no problem at all. We have the technology to see someone being raised from the dead halfway around the world when the two witnesses are raised. So it's all in place. Except for us, we're not in heaven yet. And then it's going to come to earth. The man of sin, the son of perdition. He's going to come with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Look at chapter 1, verse 7. Chapter 2, 1, verse 7 of the same book. We find he's going to, to you are troubled rest with us when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven, this mighty angels. There's a verse in here, maybe it is 2:7. He's going to be revealed the same power. Lost my verse there. He's going to reveal the same power as Christ comes with power and signs and wonders. Verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the same coming in verse 9. The parousia, the revealing, if you would. He's going to come with the same kind of power and excitement. Oh, it's Acts 2:22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. The same three words over here in verse 9 of 2 Thessalonians, power, signs, and lying wonders. He's going to come. Why? Because he's an imitator of Christ. He's going to come on the scene. So not only that, it's going to be secondly, not deception, but delusion, verse 11. His release will be followed by delusion, verse 11 in our text. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. They should believe a lie, perhaps even the lie, the definite article. What is the lie? Satan's man's God. And here, either you believe me if you're in a tribulation time, or you don't eat, or you don't do that, or you don't work, or you don't do this. So it's either me or you're just out of here. And so a lot of people are going to say, okay, I'll take the mark. And once you take the mark of the beast in the tribulation time, that means you are lost for eternity. We don't have to worry about the mark. I'm not saying we don't. The Antichrist has to be on the scene for there to be the mark of the beast. We have to know who the beast is to get his mark. We are going to be, by God's grace, I really believe, in heaven, called away to be with Christ. This delusion. You know what? You see what it said in verse 11? For this cause. What cause? Verse 10. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Perhaps this morning you've never received the love of the truth. The love of the truth is that God died on the cross for you. And if you reject that, my wife was watching the Left Behind movie, the older one, last night. You're going to be left behind. And to be left behind is a woeful thing. Because it says in verse 11, because God will send them strong delusion, they should believe the lie. What lie? That Antichrist is the Messiah. There's going to be a lie against God. That love, not the truth, it's the agapeo, the agape love. It's the John 3:16 love, for God so loved the world. It's the same, they love not Christ, they love the world. They love not the truth. And this is the condemnation. that light's come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. A deception, delusion, and finally, his release will result in damnation. That verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not in the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. It is life-changing, life-condemning. That is Christ. It is either or. It's not like there's several ways to get to heaven. No, there's just one, and it's either Christ, either you're a child of God or a child of the devil. And people don't want to hear that. They want to hear, well, I'm on my way to trusting Christ. No, it's either you've trusted him or you have not. One or the other. It's like in my household, there's the people who love Diet Mountain Dew on one side, and the people who absolutely do not like it on the other. There's no middle. The cats don't like it. I can just tell you. They don't like, oh, I'll take it some days. And oh, it's either or. Either you know Christ or you don't. Either you do or you don't. The ones who are going to believe the strong delusion said no. Personal application as before we pray. Bottom of your outline. We must never forget Satan can deceive even believers. Satan can deceive. I didn't say unsave him. I said he can deceive believers. The only way you're going to know if a preacher on TV is preaching the truth or not is to know your Bible. Know your Bible. Secondly, we must never forget our urgency in sharing the gospel with the lost. It should be an urgent thing with us. People we come in contact with, start developing a relationship, and then start, where do you go to church somewhere? Have you ever thought about, are you ready for eternity? And I need to continually be, I need to do more. We all need to do more. Just be ready when God opens the door to take it. And thirdly, you must never forget the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Deceitfully wicked. Your heart. It can even deceive you. There are people deceiving the thinking today that they can live however they want, that the Bible's not real, that God's not going to judge them, and they're deceived. Listen to these condemning words and we'll pray. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It's not about your good works. It's about knowing the God of all grace as your Savior. If you do not know him today, I would have a great joy of showing you from God's word how you can know that Christ died, believe he died for you, was buried and rose again, and receive him for yourself. Otherwise, I can tell you, you are facing an eternity with no hope. But with Christ, he is the hope, the everlasting hope. And this week, we're going to celebrate, next Sunday, is the cornerstone of our faith, the glorious resurrection of our Savior. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for giving it to us. Lord, the events of 2 Thessalonians are in the future, yet they're just as guaranteed as those that have already passed. We don't know all the exact timing, but Lord, we're not looking for the Antichrist. We're looking for you. We're looking for the upper taker, not necessarily the undertaker. So, Lord, if there be even one person in the sound of my voice, and I can't help but believe there are some this morning who never have truly trusted you for the forgiveness of their sin. Lord, there's a ledger line against us all. We are all condemned. The ledger says we owe a debt, and the debt can only be paid by death, and either our death or your death at Calvary, if we will receive it. Help them, Lord, to admit, believe, truly believing, and then call, confess their sin and call upon you. So Lord, be with us during the invitation time. Help us not to just wait another week. If there's a need, may we respond to the Spirit's moving. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.